In the name of the one true and living God. Amen. All right, so today I want to look at the gospel texts, and I want to look at it in two parts. The first part is a teaching on healing, and the second part about peace. So in the gospel, you've got Jesus who has left the synagogue at Capernaum. You can follow along. I'm going to read different parts of the texts. And he entered the house of Simon and Andrew. So right away, this is setting the stage in Mark. If you remember from last week, they'd healed a man in a synagogue. Jesus came to Capernaum where he entered the house of his friend Simon and Andrew. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. Fever in those days was not kind of what we think of today. You wouldn't take kind of two ibuprofen, go to bed, and not worry about it. A fever could mean everything from a headache all the way to a life-threatening illness, but doctors didn't really know. I mean, they were barely able to figure out what was going on the surface, much less inside. And they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Now again, sickness in those days was kind of taboo. You were unclean, you were demonically possessed, and you certainly never, ever, ever, ever took the hand of somebody who had a fever. So Jesus is wanting to show his power over sickness, his power over what sickness does to isolate people. He takes her by the hand and lifts her up. Then the fever left her and she began to serve them. Now, this is kind of what made me stop and think. I was like, how would you all hear this scripture? What I want you to hear is this is not some sort of teaching on the role of women. You know, that a woman should, when she gets feeling better, she should make her husband a turkey pot pie and a beer. But I want you to see this as a teaching about how healing can lead to service. How healing for this particular woman in this particular time was her obligations. Her highest gifts were probably in hospitality. This is not a teaching about how women should treat men, either then or now. However, you know, who are the ones that work the hardest when they're sick? I'm a complete baby when I get sick. I get like a little sniffle. I'm like, oh my gosh. Could you bring some vapors to me and a hot tea? Because I just can't handle it anymore. So women even now tend to work a whole lot harder when they're sick. And they go a lot harder and a lot sometimes putting themselves worse off when they're sick than men do. But for her, healing enabled her to do something pretty amazing, to show hospitality immediately after she was healed. Now, this is where I want to offer to you how healing, sometimes I think we make a mistake about healing. Healing leads to service all the time. That's the definition of healing. Healing is not fixing your ouchies. That's nice when healing fixes your ouchies. But healing is to free you up to serve at your highest and best levels. Healing breaks down the barriers, both physical, emotional, spiritual, family, so that you can then be freed up to be the servant that God has called you to be. Being a servant is probably the highest manifestation of healing. So when you pray for ouchies, which is really great, we've got a Tuesday women's Bible study, and there they lift up the ouchies in soul, body, and mind all the time. But I want to offer to you one layer of prayer. Pray for those things, but also pray that if God's will is done, and if God's will is that this person be healed, what is God's vision for them after the healing? What does God want to do after this ouchie has been gone, after the family is reconciled, after the job comes that they've been praying for so long? What is this person's highest and best ministry? That's where I think healing is supposed to go. Because God wanted to manifest his power and his control over all of creation so that we would be free indeed to serve our brothers and sisters. That was all well and good for Jesus. He had a really great healing experience with the man, now with Simon's mother-in-law. But then things kind of got ugly. That evening at sundown, this is in the scripture text, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door,
And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons even to speak because they knew him. So this also is one of the things where I would caution you to pray for healing, because if you are healed, God is going to ask a lot more of you than you could ever imagine. See, Jesus showed his miracles, showed his authority, and then they came out of the woodwork, pressing upon him. Now, I have learned something deeply spiritual about Jesus, and I've learned it in the bathroom. You see, not so long ago, I could even be thinking about going to the bathroom, and who do you think would show up with me? I'd have one, two, or three companions when I just wanted 5 seconds alone just to use the bathroom. But they seem to like have this magnetic sense. Dad is going to the bathroom. Let's all pile in the bathroom with him. Right? Now, I'm actually kind of, it's weird, but I'm kind of sad that this doesn't happen as much as it used to. I know, it's strange. But I used to get so frustrated with them that I couldn't even sit there and read an article on my phone in the bathroom without having three companions. But I never, ever, ever wanted them to go away. I never, ever, ever wanted them to not be in my life. And I think for Jesus, when he is pressed upon, when he's got people coming out of the woodworks, he is never rejecting them when he moves on. He loves people, but he needs just a moment, just the tiniest little moment to reconnect with God so that he can continue his ministry. You know, what it says later on in the scripture is all these people were pressing upon him. And in the morning, this is continuing in the scripture, in the morning while it was still very dark, he got up, this is Jesus, and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Jesus never wants to disconnect from anybody, but he does need to reconnect to the source, just like we do, to be as a most effective servant of the Lord. And he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. Now the Greek, I love this, the Greek has, they stalked him. Right? You've got something we want, and we'd like you to keep doing it, so we're going to hunt you down, and we're going to grab you, and we're going to make you keep doing it. Now, if this was me, I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just needed a few minutes alone. Could I please just check the Huffington Post for a second, and then I'll come back? No, but he says he doesn't even stop. He doesn't miss a beat. When they find him, they say, everyone is searching for you. Now, I can see a little bit of shame in that. You know, Jesus, you did all this great stuff. You need to keep doing that. You need to come back and play your role. But what does he say? He's like, all right, let's go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. So Jesus knows that true peace, true healing, comes from reconnecting with the Lord. And I don't think Jesus ever, ever said, I just want it to stop. Maybe he didn't in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he never said, I just want these people to go away. He just wanted them to go away just long enough that he might pray and then re-engage them. And this, for me, is a profound teaching on the nature of peace. So I talked about healing in the beginning, and now I want to talk about peace here. Peace is not, this is an anonymous author, peace is not the absence of trials or tribulations. Peace is being in the midst of all these things and having calm within your heart. Peace is not the absence of trials or tribulations, but it's being in the midst of the hurricane and having peace within your heart. I don't think Jesus ever wanted to turn anybody away, and nor does he even today. So if you pray for your life to slow down, do it advisedly. I'd be hard-pressed to think many of you would like your family to go away or your work to go away or any of the other things that press upon you. You just want to have some tools on how to deal with it, right? So I'm praying for you that you can pray for an engaged kind of peace, that you can have the tools to deal with your family, your work, your friends, your health, and all those things in a way that it's peace in the midst of, not peace once I get on the other side. Does that make sense? Pray for the peace in the midst of and not peace on the other side. And then you're going to have the tools day by day, week by week, year by year, then to engage all that God has given you to do. And healing allows that too. You got to practice peace and peace is also a gift. Very few times in my life has God sort of teleported me out of my trials and tribulations. But he has given me the tools and the ability and the skills to deal with them in the midst of. And so that's my prayer for you. Pray for healing, and that healing will lead to service, and that you'll have a vision for ministry, and then when you start getting involved in ministry, you'll have the tools and the protection of connection with the Lord than to go and give everybody what they need. And in your giving, you'll be blessed too. Amen.